And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the days of King Herod, that's how Luke chooses to begin the good news. Not with comfort, not with calm, not with twinkling lights or sentimental carols. No, Scripture ushers us straight into fear, straight into empire, straight into a world trembling under the weight of someone else's power. And honestly, some days it feels like Scripture has hacked our news feeds. Because we know something about Herodian times. We know the tightness in the chest that comes from watching the world fracture. We know what it is to walk through days heavy with political hostility, economic anxiety, the ache of violence too familiar to name. And beyond all the headlines are the personal fears, the late night fears, the ones that sit in the pit of your stomach long after everyone else is asleep. The fear that you're going to lose what you love, the fear that something precious is slipping away, the fear that you will carry your longing to the grave. And so Luke tells us about an old priest, Zechariah, whose whole life has unfolded under the shadow of empire. He spent decades praying a prayer that didn't get answered. A man so accustomed to disappointment that even hope feels dangerous. And there he stands, in the temple, doing his duty, doing what faithful people do. Carrying on when carrying on feels like its own kind of courage. Showing up, lighting incense in a world that keeps burning. And into that ordinary ritual, into the liturgy he could do with his eyes closed, God breaks in. Suddenly, inconveniently, terrifyingly, because God's interruptions usually don't come wrapped in serenity. They come with a shock to the system. And Luke tells us that Zechariah is shaken, not a little startled, but trembling to the core, like someone whose very bones remember every unanswered prayer. Scripture doesn't tidy up his body's reaction, it honors it. Because God meets us in real, trembling bodies, not idealized ones. And the angel says the line we all know, "Do not be afraid." But says it's like a whisper, not a command, a hand on a shoulder, not a finger wagging. And then the words Zechariah didn't expect anymore. "Your prayer has been heard." And I think that's how hope actually begins, not with our confidence, but with our trembling. Not with certainty, but with the admission that we are afraid. And maybe that's why Advent doesn't begin with Mary or Joseph or shepherds or stars. It begins with an elderly couple carrying decades of aching hope. It begins with the truth that fear is not the opposite of faith. It's the doorway through which faith grows legs and begins to walk. Fear visits all of us. If you're anything like me, fear shows up around 3 a.m., with the confidence of a raccoon who's gotten into the bird seed again, just rummaging around in your thoughts, making a mess. And like children everywhere, we adults have our own little strategies for dealing with it. A friend's kid currently handles fear by putting a tea towel over her head and announcing, "I'm invisible now." Honestly, that's relatable, right? Some of us use busyness instead of a tea towel. Some of us use perfectionism. Some of us use scrolling until our thumbs get tired or Netflix binges. But fear isn't something we outgrow. It's something we learn to walk with. Which is why baptism, whether we witness one like we did last night with Marigold's baptism or just remember our own, matters so much. Because baptism is the church's stubborn little protest against Herod. It says, even now God is making promises. Even now grace gets the first word and the last word. Even now new life is being entrusted to a story bigger than fear. Whenever we gather around the waters of baptism, the whole church stands up and essentially says, we will help this child or this adult learn to be brave by being loved. We will help them learn that trembling is not failure, it's human, and that God does some of God's best work with trembling people. Zechariah's fear doesn't disqualify him from the story. It starts the story. His trembling becomes the soil where God plants a promise, the dark earth where new hope takes root. Because God isn't looking for the fearless. God's looking for the honest, the open, the one still willing to light incense in Herodian times. And while Zechariah is shaking under angel light, the poet of Lamentations is crying from the darkness, out of the depths of the pit, I called your name, and you heard my plea. Two very different people. One in the rubble of a ruined city, another in a temple filled with incense smoke, but connected by the same truth. God listens from the deepest places. God bends low to hear trembling voices. Hope begins when we stop pretending we're supposed to hold ourselves together on our own and trust that God is already holding us in the places we most fear unraveling. And this is what Advent insists upon, that God does not wait for a stable world to be born. God is born into the instability. God does not wait for the fear to subside. God draws near inside the fear. God comes vulnerable, breakable, interruptible. So we might finally believe that holiness is not found in our strength, but in our honesty. And if I'm honest, I think that's why the angel comes first to Zechariah. If the story began with Mary's "Let it be," we might think the bar is too high. If it began with Joseph's obedience or the shepherd's courage, we might think discipleship requires bravery we don't always have. Instead, the story begins with a man startled by possibility, a man who flinches at good news because it's been so long since he's dared to believe it. In other words, Advent begins with us, with our worn-out prayers, our unanswered longing, our quiet fears we haven't breathed aloud. It begins with the part of us that says, God, if you were going to do something, wouldn't you have done it by now? And God answers not with certainty, but with presence, a presence that steadies us the way a calm voice steadies shaking hands, a presence meeting our breath with God's own until courage begins to grow in the very place fear once lived. Your prayer has been heard. Maybe that's the flame we light this morning. Not a triumphant blaze, but a trembling flicker. The kind of hope you cup with both hands because the wind is strong. The kind of hope that leans forward even as it shakes, hope that whispers, where is God's breath meeting mine? Not performance, presence. Hope that is born not in ease but in struggle. Hope that bursts and breaks and rebuilds like jazz, like the Spirit riffing through a weary people. Hope that blends longing and grace. Longing that aches, grace that interrupts, and both together pulling us toward Bethlehem and Jerusalem, even when we don't understand the road. Because here's the mystery. Advent hope does not ask us to banish fear. Advent hope asks us to name our fear and dare to believe that God is already moving through it. Then maybe hope doesn't begin with courage at all. Maybe it begins with one honest breath, one hand placed gently over the place that hurts. One whispered, "Here I am, God," even afraid. So what do you fear? Not as accusation, never that, but as invitation. What fear is asking for your attention? What longing? What possibility? Where are you afraid to hope again? Maybe today is the day to whisper that fear to God. Maybe today is the day you let yourself feel the weight of it for just a moment and notice that God is beside you, steadying the places that shake. Maybe today is the day to let the angel's words settle over you like a warm blanket on cold bones. Do not be afraid. Not because fear is gone, but because God is here. God is breaking in. God is listening in the dark. God is lighting a candle before dawn. And so we strike the match. We light the candle. We let its small flame declare what the world keeps trying to forget. Herod does not get the last word. Fear does not get the last word. Our longing does not go unheard. And hope, trembling, flickering, stubborn hope, is already breaking in. Amen.